You know, I want you to turn with me. In fact, we're going to go back to Matthew 6. You know, God has a way of speaking right to our need. And if you're a guest here this morning, you're looking at a guy that truly believes that God is active today. I know there are a lot of people today that want to put a God on a shelf and relegate his activities to the gathering of the church house. But that's not the God of the Bible. He's always working. Jesus one time said, "My Father works, and hitherto I work." My Father works. My Father's always doing something. And listen, if we don't have activity of God in our life, then maybe we need to check our relationship with Him. Because God is active today and God is working. And I want you to turn Matthew 6:33. I'm continuing on with my series this morning entitled Limitless. Limitless. And this morning, my message title is simply First. First. Very familiar. I think most people here would know this scripture. Again, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus simply says it like this: "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things would be added to you as well." Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, everybody say all these things, shall be added to you as well. May the Lord add His blessing to His word this morning. As I get into our series this morning, let me just remind you that the whole end part behind the series, Limitless, is so that we can wrap our brains around the fact that you and I serve a God that has no limitations whatsoever. Do you know the only limit that God has is the one we place on Him? How many's ever heard somebody say, "We've got to get God outside the box"? See, the box is constructed of our own imagination. You know, one of the Ten Commandments is we're not to create any graven images, or we're not to create, another way of looking at it is we're not to create God in our own image. We're not to create this facsimile of who God is by putting the parameters on Him, saying, "God, this is the only way that you can work is inside this box." Limitless, the whole idea behind limitless is so that we would gain a new understanding of the fact that there's not anything that you and I can face, not anything that you and I can walk through, deal with, that our God can't do something about. We've talked about fear. We've talked about loneliness. We've talked about salvation. We've talked about a number of things that God has limitless power to help us through. Listen, I gave you some words at the very beginning of this series that, again, I hope that you grab hold of. We talked about the word of omnipotence. That means that God is all-powerful. There's not anything God can't do. The second word was omniscient. That means that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows what you need before you even ask it. How many believe that this morning? He's omniscient. He's omnipresent, which simply means that there's not a place that you can go that He's not already there. I love that. I love the fact that there's not a place that I can be. Even in misery, He's still with me. How many know that? You know, sometimes we get this idea that if I'm going through stuff, that somehow God has abandoned me through the stuff, and then He picks me up when the stuff gets taken care of. That's not true. God goes with us through the stuff. He's an abiding presence and power in our life. And then we talked about the word being immutable. It is a word that simply means that God is unchanging. Listen, if God came through for you yesterday, then you can bank on the fact that He'll come through for you today. The Bible says there is no variableness nor shadow of turning with Him. That means He's consistent. How many like consistent? Consistency is important. Well, with God, you can't get more consistent than that. There is no variableness, no shadow of turning with Him. If you relied on God to get you out of a pickle last year, He'll get you out of a pickle this year. And He'll even teach you how to stay out of being in a pickle. Right? I mean, it's just a God. And again, I want us to walk away with the idea that, listen, there's not a place that I can be, there's not a situation I can be in that my God can't do something about it. My prayer is, God, let faith rise up in each of us that we might dare to believe that whatever mountain stands in my way, it will come down. Whatever giant stands imposing in front of me, that I can take care of him through Christ. See, when David went out to face Goliath, he went out, and I love the way David said. He said, you know, he walked out there, and you know the story well, and David wasn't a cocky individual. He was God confident. He said, you know what, Goliath, you come to me with the sword and shield, but you know what? Here's the thing. I come to you because I went to Planet Fitness and I worked out. That's not what he said. He said, you come to me with a sword and shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord the Lord God of Israel, the one that you're out here defiling. I'm a representative. I'm standing here. And he was able to do that, not because he was self-confident, but because he was God-confident. My prayer is that in this series, God would help us to be God-confident. That no matter what I'm facing, no matter what challenges before me, that my God can do anything through me. Amen? So again, I want us to, again, no matter what we're facing this morning, God is able to work in and through us to get us to our destiny. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. I've got one more sermon in the series, but let me ask you this question. How many here today have ever had financial difficulties? Yeah, you laugh too. Right. I mean, that's kind of a dumb question, right? I mean, we all struggle. We struggle with finances from time to time. But here's the thing. I want you to understand this morning that God's limitless power can meet our financial needs. How many believe that this morning? I mean, truly, do you understand that the God of the universe, you know, who said, I love the fact that when you start looking at the description of heaven, it said that the streets are paved with what? Gold. Not say asphalt. The thing that mankind strives for in this life is the thing that God is, it's so common in heaven that God uses it as asphalt. That's pretty incredible to me. There's no financial need that is so large that God can't do something about it. There's no financial hole that we can be in that God's word can't get us out of if we simply would trust his limitless ability. I believe that. You know, everywhere we turn right now, we're hearing the news of the looming financial crisis that's coming to America. Do you realize that our nation right now has racked up $20 trillion in debt? You know how much $1 trillion is? Just $1 trillion? If you were to go into business, if you opened a business when Jesus was born, okay, and you lost $1 million a day, you never shut the doors, you passed that business down, it was still operating today, still losing $1 million a day, you would not have lost $1 trillion yet. That's how, and we're $20 trillion in debt as a nation. But here's the thing, it's not just nationally that we're in trouble. Most people today are drowning in debt because they buy stuff they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't like. Right? I mean, if the truth be told, that's where we are. We're just laden with debt. We're overwhelmed with debt. And it's like the little bumper sticker, I owe, so off to work I go. That's the reality of where we are. Because we've been so laden with debt that we have to go to work so that we can sign over our salary to give to the creditors because we're neck deep in eyeballs in debt. Many economists tell us that if the trend continues, our economy will collapse. And again, the scriptures even talk about a time in Revelation chapter 6. It talks about the rider of the black horse having the power over commodities. And in fact, it says that the things will be so bad in that time that one day's salary, listen to what it said, one day's salary would cover the bread for that day. Things are going to get so difficult in the economy. As a nation and as individuals, what we've done over the last 20 years is we have failed to heed the warning of Joseph when Joseph stood before the Pharaoh and he said there would be times of bumper crop harvest. But you know what he said? There would also be times of lean. There would be years of plenty, there would be years of famine, and this cycle has been continuing throughout all of history, and yet it's largely been ignored. We have enjoyed a few decades of plenty, but we forgot to plan for the years of scarcity. The American dream is to have the biggest, the newest, and the best. And every day we're bombarded with advertisements trying to convince us that we can't live without, and you can fill in the blank. You can't live. When Rebecca was little, when she was small, her thing was McDonald's. She had these laser vision. She had this laser vision that she could see those golden arches. She had it down. She loved French fries. She loved French fries, and she knew that where there were golden arches, guess what? There were French fries. I love the way John Ortberg describes when you buy a Happy Meal. He said, the thing is, when you buy a Happy Meal, you're not just buying a Happy Meal. You're not just buying fries, McNuggets, and a toy. You're buying happiness. You're buying happiness. And see, what happens is the advertisers, these PR people, they figured it out. That they've done a very good job of convincing our children that there is a little McDonald's-shaped vacuum in their souls. And their souls cry out, our hearts are restless till we find our rest in a Happy Meal. Right? That's just where we are. They did that. But see, here's the problem. The problem with a Happy Meal is that the happy wears off. How many parents can relate to that? The happy wears off, and they need a new fix. No child discovers lasting happiness by just one Happy Meal. Never happens. You know, they never go around saying, oh, you know, I remember that Happy Meal. What a joy I found there. No, the reality is, Happy Meals bring happiness to only one person, McDonald's. I mean, you ever wondered why Ronald McDonald wears that grin? Right? 20 billion Happy Meals, that's why. Right? 20 billion Happy Meals, that's why he's grinning. But see, here's the thing. When we get older, we don't get any smarter. Our Happy Meals just become more expensive. They just become more expensive. So let me ask you this morning, what's your Happy Meal? What is your Happy Meal this morning? What is that thing in your life that calls out to you to constantly buy when the new version comes out or maybe the new model is offered? Let me ask you this. Do you constantly spend more than you earn? Are you spending money on things that offer temporary joy? What about those lean years? Have you ever thought about that? You know, one of the classes that we offer, we have been offering over the last few months in our connection group has been Financial Peace University. God has gifted Dave Ramsey with an incredible acumen to be able to help people learn to manage resources, get away from the power of debt and all of those things. And, you know, one of the things he talks about is planning for lean years. Let me ask you, do you have 3 to 6 months living expenses set aside in case there's an emergency? Most people don't, because we don't think much about it. Why? Because I want a Happy Meal. Right? I want a Happy Meal. And we don't think about it. And as bleak as things might seem financially, listen, regardless of where you are, this is a message to let you know that no matter where you are right now, God's Word is a roadmap. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And if we will trust God and follow God's plan, He will get us through the predicament that we're in right now. How many believe that? Listen, I could line up some people this morning that know what it is to be eyeball in debt, and they are standing here today simply debt-free because they have studied the Word of God, they found the plan of God, and they begin to employ it in their lives. Listen, in their work, God's limitless power is able to break any financial bondage. It's able to help us overcome any financial challenge if we're willing to follow the path that God gives to us. See, there is no shortage with God. How many understand that? There is no shortage with God in His economic policies. They don't depend on who's in the White House or who might be in the outhouse or who might be this way. It doesn't depend on the NASDAQ and the Dow Jones and the S&P 5. It doesn't depend on any of that stuff. It doesn't depend on bailouts or pork barrel politics. God has a plan. See, the truth is this. If we're not in control of our finances, somebody else is. If we're not in charge of our finances, somebody else is. And here's the reality. If we can't control our finances, we will have a hard time controlling other parts of our lives. See, we can't escape the fact that money is a source of stress for our lives. How many can relate to that? It is a source of stress for our lives. Whether you have plenty or you have none, if we don't learn how to manage what we do have, it's going to destroy our ability to find happiness. Okay? Regardless of where you are this morning, God's limitless power is available to break financial bondage over our lives. I want us to pray at the end of the service. If you need a financial miracle, listen, I'm not ashamed to say, hey, God's able. We're going to pray because I believe the power of prayer can break the cycle and God can help us. I want to give you 5 things real quick this morning to bring financial freedom. First thing, and I've used this before. I love this. The first thing you have to do, if you're going to have experience financial freedom, keep track of your resources. Keep track of your... Have you ever had a $20 in your pocket on Monday, and then on Wednesday you couldn't figure out where it went? Maybe I'm the only one that does that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you have $20 and you think in your mind, at least from a math standpoint, okay, I can spend $5 a day. That at least get me to Thursday. But on Wednesday, you go in your pockets and there's nothing there but lint. And then you start thinking, okay, what happened to it? Has anybody ever had financial amnesia? You can't remember what happened to the 20 bucks in your pocket. Or maybe this, you got your credit, you received your credit card statement in the mail. After you get up off the floor after passing out, you look at that and you think, I don't remember spending that much money. Anybody ever been there? Financial amnesia. See, we don't understand. We don't keep track of where our money goes. It disappears. It's kind of like the socks that go into the socks go in the dryer and they don't come out. Hey, I've stuck my head in there. There's not a hole. I don't know where they are. See, I'm not the only one who has a dryer like that. It's just something about it. That's the way money is. It just evaporates. Listen, if you keep track of your money, you'll be surprised where it goes. How many believe that? I mean, think about it. If you bought two sodas a day, and let's just say those sodas, I don't know where you'd get them unless it's in our Coke machine over there, but two sodas a day, 50 cents a piece. 50 cents doesn't sound like a big deal, right? But do you know if you did that every day, two sodas a day, at the end of the month, you'd spend $30 on soda. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a soda every now and then, but if we're going to survive in tough economic times, a little self-discipline is important. See, we rationalize and say, well, you know, it's just 50 cents. It doesn't really matter. But 50 cents adds up over time. If you keep doing that every day for the year, you know what? You'll spend over $360 on soda water. Wow. I was talked to a couple weeks ago, and we talked about fear and some of the other things we talked about. I had a guy that came up to me, and he said, Pastor, today I decided I'm going to quit smoking. He laid his cigarettes down on the stage and said, I'm done smoking. I'm breaking that cycle in my life. Praise God. I talked to him a couple days later, and he said, you know, I was sitting there calculating. I've been smoking for a long time. He said, and I figured out that in the time that I've been smoking, I've spent over $65,000 on cigarettes. Whew, that's a Corvette. I mean, wow. But, I mean, it puts it in perspective if you think like that. You see, we only see 50 cents at a time, but we don't see how it adds up. And I think that we need to learn how to keep track of where our money goes. It requires a little bit of discipline. Solomon said it like this. Be sure, Proverbs 27, verse 23 says, be sure to know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever. You know what he's saying? He said, hey, pay attention. Just because you have more checks in a checkbook doesn't mean you have money to cash those things. Right? All the banker said? Amen, right. See, he said, know what's going on in your life financially. Let me ask you, could you sit down and explain to somebody where you are financially right now? See, here's the thing. By keeping records, you know what it does? It helps us to manage our resources from a position of strength rather than weakness. Let me say that again. When we learn where our resources are going, it helps us to manage from a position of strength, not weakness. In fact, Solomon again said in Proverbs 13, every prudent man acts out of knowledge. In other words, if you know where you are, then you can respond accordingly. You know, you have knowledge. So there's power in knowing where you are financially. Secondly, plan ahead. Now, I know that just blows things out of the water, but plan ahead, okay? No one ever succeeds or achieves success without a plan. If you want to open a business, you know what? If you go to take a business loan, you know what they're going to ask you? What's your business plan? What is your business plan? See, businesses have a plan to guide them from where they are to where they want to be. As an individual, we need to do the same thing. You know what? Sit down with your family in January and say, hey, where do we want to be this year? What kind of vacation would we like to take next year? Whatever your priorities are as a family, sit down and make a plan. Decide what you want to do with your money and begin making plans to use it that way. See, and here's the thing. Don't fall into the trap thinking that you don't make enough to plan for the future. Do you know what? Saving and planning has nothing to do with the amount of money you make. Nothing whatsoever. It really doesn't matter how much you make. Planning ahead and working the plan will enable you to achieve your goals if you will stick to it. I mean, some of the things that we know is coming, if the Lord tarries, retirement. Are you banking on Social Security to get you there? Remember that $20 trillion I was telling you about? It's going to be a lot worse the time we get to that place, you know. What are you doing to plan for the future? Another thing to think about, if you have children, what about college tuition? What about a purchase of a home? Your automobile, maintenance, repair bills, dental expenses. You know, to get braces on your teeth is like buying a new car. I know, both of mine had them. I mean, it's nuts. How about Christmas and birthdays? You know those things come around every year? Right? I mean, again, some of these things aren't emergencies, but you know what? These things break the bank. These things break the budget for so many people. See, because we don't plan, guess what? December rolls around, and you know what? All of a sudden, it's just like, oh, wait a minute. December 25th is Christmas. Did you know that? It's like it just sprung on us. And so here we are sitting in December. We haven't bought a present, and so we do what most people do because we want everybody to have a good Christmas. So what do? We go out, and we whip out the MasterCard, and we say, charge it. Because we don't plan ahead. Because we don't plan ahead, we go deeper in debt. Solomon said in Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Make a plan. Third thing, save consistently. Save consistently. I used to teach my children when they were growing up the 10-10-80 plan. 10% tithe, 10% savings, and then live on 80%. When they got older and they got jobs, I said, here's what you do. Every time you get a raise, don't fold that raise into your household budget. Set aside and let it go to another account so that you can't see it. Because you know what? Every time we get a raise, you adjust your standard of living to the raise that you got. If you can live on $3,000 a month and you're now starting to make $3,500 a month or $4,000 a month. If you were living just fine on $3,000 a month, why do you want to try to live on $4,000 a month? Why not use that to set aside for some rainy days or some other activities? I mean, again, just like spending 50 cents on a soda pop, it adds up to thousands of dollars over a decade. Here's what Solomon said in Proverbs 13:11. He who gathers money little by little makes it grow. And again, don't fall into the trap thinking you got to make tons of money to save. You don't have to make tons of money. You just have to be disciplined. Sheila and I have this. We have this jar on. How many have a jar on your? Yeah. How many's ever cashed that thing in and thought, whoa, where did that money come from? You know, change, just random change. You go buy something, and it's easier to do with cash, by the way, because you get change back, and you put that change in the jar. And over a period of time, that thing, I always call it my vacation fund. Because saving, when that jar gets full, I know that when that jar reaches the top, I've got about $800 in that jar. That's pretty good. Or just throwing change in a jar just because I don't want to carry change in my pocket. It doesn't require a lot. It just takes a little bit of discipline. One of the things Sheila and I started doing years ago is that when we get if and when we get income tax back, see, advertisements, they push you to take you. In fact, they'll let you buy things before you even get your income tax back, right? My wife and I decided some years ago that we would start investing, at least after we give our tithes off of our, if we get anything back, after we tithe that, we'll take half of that and we'll put it in an investment of some type. Just something simple. Because I always think, well, I hadn't planned on that coming in. I hadn't planned on there being money to come back. So, again, just little strategies like that, it will help us. Again, begin with the habit of putting aside a little bit of money every month. If it seems like a ridiculously small amount, don't let that bother you because it's going to grow over time. If you will do that consistently, some of the bankers would probably shoot me with this one. But here, some years ago, my wife was, she did a lot of, in fact, in Germany, she was a bookkeeper of the entire European chapel system there in our region. So my wife was to the penny. She would if she couldn't find a penny, I had to give her a penny. Because it was going to balance. One way or the other, it was going to balance. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm a rounder. I'm a rounder. I kid you not, over a five-year period of time, because like if I had to write a check for like, I don't know, $27.38, I would always round it up to $28. I never rounded down. I always rounded it up. And I did that all the time. When I closed out that account to move it to another bank, do you know I had $2,300 in there just by rounding it up? Now, I'm not saying go out and don't balance your checkbook, okay? But I'm just saying find strategies that work for you. Build your savings up. Again, Solomon said in Proverbs 21:20, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all that he has. I love the way the Living Bible translates that verse. It says it like this. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Again, even if you can only save a small amount, do it consistently and watch it grow. Put it into a place that, you know, if you have, here's another strategy. I'm going to move on. I got to hurry up and close. Don't tie your debit card to your savings account. If you're trying to save money, make it as difficult as possible to access it on a whim. Because how many know if you go to Walmart and you haven't had lunch, you're going to walk down that chip aisle and you're going to find every bag of chips. Well, I want this one, and you know I can splurge a little bit here. And you're going to walk down and you're going to see every flavor of Oreo cookie you can imagine, and you got to have every one of them. Don't tie it together. Again, these are just simple things that we can do. Another thing, number four, eliminate debt. Again, if we're going to break those things, these financial difficulties in our lives, eliminate debt. Now, I'm sure most of us here can testify to the fact that nothing in the world will cause as much misery as being in debt up to your eyeballs. Nothing good can possibly come from debt. You know, we work from sunup to sundown, and in the end, we sign over our income to the creditors because we have to have the newest and latest. And it is a vicious cycle. Now listen, I'm not totally against borrowing. I mean, I have a mortgage and a car payment, but be careful if you go beyond that. The debt that is ruining our nation is called consumer debt. It's unsecured debt. It's one of those things where we're quick to whip out the credit card to buy something that we really don't need with money we don't have. And Christmas is coming up, and that's a very dangerous time. See, it's madness to think about that. It's madness to think I'm going to borrow from tomorrow or next year to buy something today that I won't even use. How many discovered that? You got to have it, you get it, and then it goes in the closet, and you don't think about it until you have a garage sale, and then what you buy for $175, you sell for $10. That's crazy. That's crazy. But that's where we are. I mean, we've all seen the credit card commercials. And listen, credit card, I tell my children all the time, credit cards like a viper. View it like a viper that's ready to just grab onto you and not let go. Credit card, have you ever seen the commercial that implies that by using their credit card that you can find the ultimate fulfillment of your dreams? It goes something like this. Airfare for two to Paris, $2,800. A weekend rental at your private chalet, $650. An evening meal for two at a sidewalk cafe, $100. Sharing it with the one you love, oh, priceless. Priceless. You know, when I see those ads, I wish they'd use a tagline. The stress of having to pay off the card at 29%, not worth the cost. Listen, there's nothing wrong with going to Paris, but if you can't afford to get to Glen Rose, you have no business going to Paris, right? Right? We shouldn't do that. Here's what Solomon said in Proverbs 22:7. It says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the what? Is the servant to the lender. If you owe somebody money, they have power over you. They have power over you, and you become many, in many ways, you become their prisoner. If you owe tons of money in consumer debt, you are no longer free to do what you want to do with your money. You're no longer working for yourselves. You're working for them. When we get so laden with debt, listen, I believe in tithing, 10%. But you know what? Sometimes maybe we have a missionary comes in, or like in January, we've got the Watoto. How many remember the Watoto? We got the Watoto coming back, the children's African Children's Choir coming back in January. We'll receive an offering to bless them. If I'm so laden with debt, I can't give when the Lord prompts me to give. Maybe there's a brother or sister sitting here in the body that has need, and the Bible says if it's within our ability to help somebody, we ought to do that. But if I'm so laden in debt where I can't even pay attention, much less give them $5, then I can't be obedient. And you know what it does? It starts making people feel bad. So let me challenge you. Take care of your finances. Take charge and eliminate debt. Learn to live by this rule. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. I know that's not fun, okay? I know it's not fun. In fact, it's going to be painful, but not nearly as painful as being a slave to somebody else. There's a principle called delayed gratification. Learn how to think about it. Last principle here, and I'm going to close. I saw that clock for a minute. It said 1:00. I'm like, what? It hadn't been set back yet. I thought, man, people say I'm long-winded. It's not true. I may be long, but I've never been winded, right? But here's the last principle, I promise. Here's the last one. Give habitually. Give habitually. Now, this might be the very last one, but it's certainly not the least. If you just want you to understand, giving to God has a direct impact on living under a blessing or under a curse. There's a correlation between honoring God with the tithe and the offerings and living under a curse. You know, the Bible talks about having baskets with holes in them. When we live in disobedience to God by not giving as He has asked us to, and He's commanded us to, we move out of the realm of blessing into the realm of cursing. And so we can make all of this money, but we put it in baskets that have holes in it. And we wonder where it goes. And sometimes the curse has nothing to do with our finances. Sometimes we can't figure out why does things always happen the way that they do. Again, there's the principle of either operating under the principle of blessing or cursing. See, we have a tendency to give only when it's easy to give. We give when it's easy. When things get tight, what we give to God is one of the very first things that we cut. And I want to say that's a bad habit to get into, if that's what your habit is, for two reasons. One, it shows a lack of gratitude to God for everything that He's done and given to us. And number two, it shows a lack of trust in God for His ability to get us through our rough times. Listen, you've heard, I'm not going to take time to tell you this story. You've heard me share about how when I was unemployed for 10 months back in the early 90s, how that Sheila and I had been tithers. I didn't grow up tithing. She was a tither, I wasn't. She taught me tithe, gave to the Lord, went through a time, 10 months of unemployment, racked up debt. But you know what? I lived because God provided in ways that I could not tell you how it makes sense. I couldn't tell you how it happened, but I just know that God took care of me. Listen, there's a direct correlation. Whether things are easy or right now in our financial life, we need to make a habit of giving to God. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things would be added to you as well. Solomon said again in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then, notice the correlation there. If you honor God with what He blesses you with, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. You see, the truth is this: by regularly honoring God with our giving, we are placing ourselves in a position to be blessed. As we give, it opens the doors of God's blessings on us. Solomon again says in Proverbs 22:9, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Again, this is a promise of God. There is a direct connection between what we give and what we receive. And I know that's not popular today because we've had many gospel con artists that have used these scriptures to manipulate God's people and abuse them with the area of giving. But listen to me. Just because they use these verses to manipulate people doesn't mean that these verses aren't true. For years and years and years, we had a guy that tithed every week. He sent a tithe and never came to church. Never darkened the doors of church. We're probably for 10 years sent a tithe check in every single week. So I asked him one time, I said, hey, what's up with this? I mean, not that we couldn't use it. I'm just saying, what? I don't understand. And I love his answer. He said, just because I don't attend church doesn't mean I don't believe in the principle, because it works. I thought, wow. I mean, I need that guy to preach a little bit. That's pretty cool, because it works. I mean, listen, if we're going to give, God's going to bless us. That's what he said in Malachi chapter 3. He said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me. Only time in Scripture. Every time God says, don't test me, I'm telling you, don't you dare. This time he says, I double dog dare you. See, I'm from Alabama. When somebody double dog dares you to do something, you know what? You have to do it. You just have to. He said, listen, test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to bear it. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. How many want to step into the running over blessing of God? Listen, if we will follow God's plan, God will get us through financial difficulties. Guys, if you want to come back, I'm going to wrap this up. If you want to see God break financial bondage in your life, start doing, you know, one of the things that tithing does, it helps us to prioritize. It helps us to keep the focus where the focus needs to be, and that is on Him. You know, and I've shared with you before, I don't mind telling you, my ultimate goal, Sheila and I want to get to the point where I want to be able to give away 20% of our income. We hadn't quite made it there yet. Her doctor bills, I keep telling her every time I get an inheritance or something, she gets sick. So maybe I don't need it, but no, I'm just joking with you. We believe in generously giving to the Lord. We don't just tithe, we give offerings, we sponsor children. We've got, I think, 3 or 4 kids that we sponsor every month. And again, it's not out of an abundance, because we don't. It's just the fact that it's something we started years ago, and it's very, very important to us. God's always made a way. In fact, when we had Gary Sapp here not long ago, we picked up another kid, made another commitment to a kid. And I said, God, I think I'm crazy. I don't have the money to do that. He said, but do you trust me? I said, well, yeah, of course I do. He said, well, then don't worry about it. And you know what? Every month since then, there's always been something that the resources have come in from unexpected support sources that I've been able to make my commitment to those kids. There is a direct correlation. The Bible says, whatever measure you give, it will be given back to you in the same measure. If I'm stingy, then scarcity will be my lot. But if I'm generous, and I love the way the Scripture talks, it's hilarious, the hilarity of giving. It means give till it makes no sense. Give until you're silly. I think Brother Rex was there one time. We were in pastor school, and there was a guy there that started a business many years ago. He was in telecommunications, the Dream Center. Some of you have heard about, we've been to the Dream Center in L.A. and also in Atlanta, and the Dream Center always does a big support for the Dream Center. They take an offering there, and there was this guy that started this business, and the Lord spoke to him and gave him a number of what he wanted to commit to that project above his tithes. And he said, there's no way. That's more money committed to give than I make an entire year. And he said, God challenged him. He said, but do you trust me? Do you trust me? And so he stood up there, and I watched this man with tears in his eyes saying, I don't know how God's going to do this, but I'm going to commit what God told me to commit. I wrote it down, and he said it was verified because my wife, we both know this is coming. She wrote down a number, and I wrote down a number, and it was the same number. So I know this is God. He said, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to make this commitment. It was something like $200,000. The next year, we come back to pastor school, and he stands up there, and he said, let me tell you what God did. And it was just incredible how God made his business grow and blossom to where he said, now this year, we're going to do $500,000. I'm telling you that you cannot out outpace God in your generosity. You cannot outgive God. Your giving to God can move you from blessing to cursing, depending on which way you go. Listen, as I close this morning, take control of your finances. If you're struggling this morning financially, say, you know what, Pastor, I really want to give to Him. I really want to be generous with God. I want to give. The starting point, by the way, is the tithe, 10%. Above that is offerings. I want to do that, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm up to my eyeballs in debt. You know what I'd say? I'd say, start where you are right now. The Bible does credit us for the willingness to do that. We may not be able to do it right now, but you keep, and every time you're able to do a little more until you get up to that 10%, because I promise you, you cannot outgive God, and you will step into a realm of blessing you've never been in before. I don't preach on money a lot, so if you're a guest here this morning, it's not a typical message. It just goes with my series. But I can point to you people sitting here right now that were not tithers, and one day I preached the message, they heard the message, they took it to heart, and today they would tell you it's the greatest step of faith they ever took in their life. You can't outgive God. As I close, take charge of your finances. Start saving. Keep a record of where you are. Get out of debt. Eliminate those things. Learn how to live with delayed gratification. Set up a plan. Start saving for the future. I used to tell my children when they were in the youth group, every one of them is a potential millionaire sitting right here. They don't have to be a doctor. They don't have to be a lawyer. They just have to start at their age, start putting a little bit aside every month. If they'll start the discipline right now of setting aside money, whether they get babysitting money, yard mowing money, if they'll set aside a little bit, 10% every month, every time they get money, I promise you, by the time they're my age, they'll be sitting pretty good on a good nest egg. And how many parents would love to see your kid have a good nest egg when you get old? Because then they can take care of you, right? You can remind them for those 18 years that you spent like, what is it, $186,000 to get them from birth to 18? You say, you got 18 years to spend $186,000 on me till I die. No, I'm just, come on, stand with me this morning. Listen, God's limitless power can break every financial stronghold in our life. Maybe you're one of those impulsive shoppers and you just can't help it. We're going to pray that God will break that. I'm going to ask our prayer team if you would come down and join me this morning. Maybe you can't help it. Maybe that new pair of shoes just looks so good. Maybe that new drill motor is, you've never seen a drill motor quite like that drill motor. Maybe that new boat has the best padded seats you ever sat in. Maybe that new oven that came out would make your life so much easier. See, sometimes it's just a matter of us saying, you know what, I'm going to take charge and I'm going to make those tough decisions. If you eat out 4 or 5 times a week, you know what, why don't you drop it down to maybe 2 times a week and then put that other bit of money aside. Learn how to cook. Betty Crocker has good recipe books, and I'm sure if you can read English, go out to Miss Katie's. She'll teach you how to make one meal, and if you have to make it every day, make it every day. Take charge. Listen, I believe that He came not just to set us free from sin and the tyranny of sin in our life, but I believe He came to break the chains of bondage, the shackles of every facet of our lives. If it concerns us, it concerns Him. Most marriages are there's angst in marriages because of financial difficulty. I know men, we tend to say, well, but my wife loves to use those credit cards. Be careful. Women tend to shop a little more than men do, but men tend to buy more expensive things than women do. She may come home with a new Coach purse, but if you come home with a bass boat, there's no comparison there. Take charge. Do the tough things. Let me just challenge you, and I promise I'm hushing. Make it your goal for the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. Start eliminating debt. Start planning. Start saving. Start giving to God. If you're not giving, start where you are right now and say, God, I'm going to commit over the next 3 months. I'm going to honor you with giving, tithes and offerings. I'm going to not be impulsive in my purchasing. Watch the miracle that will happen in your life. I promise you, you will be better off in 3 months than you are sitting here today, because you cannot apply the principles of Scripture and it not work. Let me ask you this morning, if you're here today, and I want us to sing. If you're here this morning and say, you know what, Pastor, I need a financial breakthrough. Maybe it's debt, maybe it's a new job, maybe you've got an unexpected bill that came in that you didn't anticipate. Maybe something happened, you lost a job, and you're struggling financially, and you need a breakthrough this morning. As we sing, I want you to come. You're not in this by yourself. Listen, every one of us would have a story of difficult financial decisions and situations in our life. But you look at people that turn to God to find a solution, and God made a way where there seemed to be no way. As we sing, I want you to come, and we're going to pray with you this morning.
Who is this King of glory? Beautiful and matchless one. Who is this King so holy? Every knee will bow.
Amen. Come on. If you need a miracle this morning financially, I want you to come. We're going to pray with you.
Jesus, the Lamb of God, Savior and King, you alone are worthy of our praise forever. You alone are seated on the throne of heaven, glorified, glorified.
Oh, How many believe that God's more than enough? There's no financial need in your life. There's no other need in your life that God's not able to do something about. I'll be preaching tonight. I'm going to be preaching about peace, living in His peace. I mean, oh, that's a good thing in these tough times that we live in. Listen, there's no financial need that God's not able to do something about. Don't lose hope. If you need help, let somebody know. We offered that class. One of the things I want to do is find another Bible study that we can offer on a regular basis to help people. This book right here has given us a roadmap on how to live a blessed life. It works. Sometimes it's hard to wrap our brains around what it says, but there are people that have learned down through the years that God is trustworthy and faithful. If you're struggling, you don't sit in isolation. Don't allow financial weight to crush your spirit. Let somebody stand with you in agreement in prayer. I love you so much, and my prayer is what John said, above all things, that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. In closing, I want to do something that, you know, I used to do on Sunday nights and I haven't done in a long time. But if you would extend your right hand, I want to pray a blessing over you in closing. This is typical Jewish custom to bless and receive that blessing. Father, I praise you and I thank you for your word today. Father, I bless each person here today and those that are watching on the internet today. Lord, I bless them with peace, number one. I pray, Father, that whatever they put their hands to do as they walk in obedience to you, that you cause it to prosper. Father, I pray that we put our confidence in you this morning. God, that we would trust you in all things with our finances this morning. God, we pray that you would take the weight, the heaviness off of our shoulders. Lord, that impending doom that we feel right now, Lord, lift it off of us right now. Give us peace. Bless our finances. Bless our homes. Bless our job. Bless our management skills, Father. As we walk out of here today, may we walk out positioned and determined to live in obedience to your word and walk in blessing, not cursing. I love and I bless each one now in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you so much.